I don't think Jacqueline and I are eating Aeros at the moment, but we seem to have in our family a lot to do with think bubbles. It's just that Jacqueline brought a prophetic word at Wildwood last week, those that were there remember, about think bubbles, and in it were visions and purposes of God. And I gave a little smile because when I was preparing for this morning, God had already given me think bubbles. So maybe we're putting too much Radox in the bath, I don't know. But anyway, my think bubbles were slightly different, because when I was preparing, I just saw hundreds of think bubbles in this room. Because our minds are always active, aren't they? Usually at night when we don't want them to be. But they are active all the time. And the think bubbles that I was seeing had lots of decisions and circumstances and concerns. Some were big, some were small, but there was lots of them, because that's life. We're always thinking, aren't we? We're always pondering about direction, about jobs, about our health, about family, about finances. The bubbles are endless. And we face lots of decisions and lots of circumstances throughout life, don't we? Who doesn't? Because you can pray for us all. That'd be easier than me. But you know, within our decisions, within our circumstances, within our health, there are genuine concerns. And these concerns cause us to worry. They can leave us perplexed, confused, unsure, bewildered. And alongside all of this, we have family. We have friends. We have church family. We have a whole world who can give us their opinion of how best to deal with these decisions, these concerns, our health, our circumstances. But you know, there's some things we just can't deal with. No matter how hard we try, we can't deal with it. And yes, God's word does encourage us to seek godly counsel and wisdom from those around us. You only have to look through Proverbs, and there are many verses that encourage us to do that. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's been quite a few people sick within the church. It'd be probably easy to ask, who hasn't been ill? And if you put all these together, all our decisions, our circumstances, our concerns, health, they all compete for priority in our life. They all want to be the focus of our life. I've had several people, you know, I'll come back to that. And in all of that, what has been our response? Where is our focus fixed in life? Our focus fixed. Where do you see Jesus in your life? I ask this because sometimes he's actually the last person we acquire or we seek within our decisions, within our circumstance, within our health, within our life, because those things just overwhelm us. And actually, sometimes we make our circumstance fit our decisions. We think because that and that is happening, I must do this. And sometimes we feel that our decision that we need to make is the most logical thing to do because that's what seems right to us. And yet God's word tells us, doesn't it? It says, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So this morning, I want to briefly talk about the only priority that has to be in our life, whether that's in decisions, whether that's in concerns, whether that's in circumstances, whether that's in ill health, in life. There must be one and one only priority, and that is, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first his kingdom. When I'm foolish and I don't seek his kingdom first, that's when I get into trouble. That's when I get in situations and in circumstances and in places where I find myself overwhelmed. People, a number of people have asked me, how do I cope with all the sickness in the church? I don't. I have to take it to Jesus. It's not about me, it's about him. If I tried to cope with it, I'd be overwhelmed with it, if I'm honest. It's him. He is the answer. So I seek his kingdom first. Then I get a godly perspective about the sickness within our family. See, it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. His righteousness, what does that mean? Well, it's his conduct, his desires, his character, his standards of morality and justice, his perfection in every attribute, attitude, and behavior will be given to us if we seek his kingdom first. This is one little verse, but it needs to be a priority in our life. There's a need to focus and concentrate on it. Its meaning, when Jesus spoke this, was as direct as it was meant to be, as it sounds. As we know, as we don't, it comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And the main subject of the Sermon on the Mount, if you could describe it in two words, would be his kingdom. That's what Jesus is talking about, his kingdom. And Jesus comes to it in Matthew 6, the climax of his argument, that the kingdom of God is to be our ultimate focus for every believer. His kingdom is more important than our personal agenda. His kingdom is to be our controlling priority. We put kingdom issues above every other issue. We are to seek his kingdom as a priority over the things of this world. It doesn't mean that we neglect areas of our lives. We don't live in a holy bubble. But actually, if we seek his kingdom first, it will actually enhance every area of our life. You know, looking around, we're all Christians in this room, aren't we? Now, if someone says no now, there's about 30 people all going to pray for you and lay hands on you and ask you to be saved. So we are. But you know, as Christians, our attitude towards life should be different, shouldn't it? Because we are a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You're not a rework. You're not a bit of sticky back plastic. You are a new creation. The old has gone, new has come. So it's not just we're new in spirit, we're an entirely new being in the way that we should think. Our very nature has been completely transformed. We have a freedom now and a responsibility to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. And if you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, you will seek his kingdom first. See, our mindset should not be now that we're controlled by physical passions or our circumstances. We have the power within, which is Jesus Christ, to direct our bodies according to their true spiritual value and purpose. If we're taking care of God's business as a priority, if we're seeking his salvation, if we're living in obedience to him, if we're sharing the good news of his kingdom, then he will take care of our business as he promises. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And if that's the arrangement, where's the worrying? Why do we worry? I'm not looking for an answer. It's just a question. Why do we worry? If God is going to take and supply all our needs, if we're seeking him first, why do we worry? See, the challenge Is our focus on our circumstance? Is our focus solely on the decision? Is our focus on our concern? Is our focus on our health? Is our focus on life? Or is the focus on the answer to all of those, Jesus Christ? Because remember, his idea of what we need is often different to what we think it is. And his timing only occasionally meets our timing because he knows what's best for us. So then if we want to truly seek his kingdom, how do we do that? How do we seek his kingdom first? Well, ask yourself these questions. Where do you primarily spend most of your energies? Where does your focus lie? Is all our time and money spent on goods and activities that will certainly perish, or are they on the services of God, the results of which live forever? When we seek his kingdom first, when we have learned to truly put God first, then we will rest in this holy dynamic, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek his kingdom first. This is a bit of a theme this morning. Seek his kingdom first. It is an entity with both spiritual and physical manifestations. But at the heart of it is a call to relationship. Now, to truly know someone, you've got to spend time with them, haven't you? You've got to share. You've got to open your heart. In other words, in a relationship, there has to be a prioritizing in that relationship. See, I might be putting my foot in it here now. If I just occasionally talk to Jacqueline, just now and then, and if in that conversation, all I'm talking to her about is my needs, my wants, my desires, I would guess at some point, quite soon, within the first week, if not hours, she'll move away now, that she would say, this isn't a relationship. This isn't relationship. Relationship is communicating, is spending time with each other. To seek his kingdom first, we have to intentionally focus and fully commit to that relationship with him. So how do we develop that relationship? Well, firstly, God has given us this, his word. This is the atmosphere that shows us his will. It's living, it's breathing. The psalmist says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law, from his word. And because God's word is living, it's breathing, it shows us who God is. So we spend time in his word. Secondly, we develop that relationship through his spirit by listening and watching and waiting for those little things. Remember Elijah? The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Elijah knew his heavenly Father's voice. He knew that God doesn't only reveal himself in majestic, in powerful, in booming ways, but it is often to be found in the gentle whisper, is often to be found in the humble heart. And I guess the question is, are we listening? You would agree we live in a noisy world, would you not? I find as I get older, I find it a more noisy world. Things I used to play at a loud volume in my room as a teenager, I don't know, for some reason. But you know, in this noisy world that we live in, we have to take a step back. You know, Elijah was in a cave. We've almost got to find our cave. We've got to find our quiet place within this noisy world. Within this world that's so full of activity, we've got to find that place where we can hear his voice. There are so many things that vie for our time. But really, we've got to prioritize and find that cave. Now, I don't mean physically, you know, to dig something in the garden. It's just finding that place where everything else is put aside and you just can hear the Father's voice. And then there's a third action within developing that relationship. It's prayer. Prayer is not a list of things to come and ask. Prayer is conversation between us and our Heavenly Father. It's listening. It's growing in that relationship. It's getting to know Him for who He is. And to accomplish these three steps of Word, Spirit, and prayer, commitment is required. The psalmist says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth." It's about committing our whole body to God. It's about entrusting ourselves entirely to the one who is our Saviour. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. To entrust means that we are putting something into somebody else's care. We're giving that to them. And it's about entrusting ourselves into His care. So we put every decision, every concern, every circumstance, every health issue, so that He may cause our lives to bear fruit according to His will. Commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. And we think, yeah, I know all this. And yet I can guarantee tomorrow I'll go and not do that. But it's about that relationship. Committing our life to God is in fact the scriptural principle of faith in God. By faith we entrust ourselves to God. It's not just a matter of believing in certain doctrines. I came across this example, which I shall probably ruin now, but I'll give it to you anyway because I liked it. If you come to a lift and the doors are open, and if you believe with all your heart that that escalator will take you up, it's not going to, is it? Until you step into it. It's fundamentally different when you step into it than when you think about it. You won't go up by just believing. You have to step into that believing. So just me standing here saying, that lift's going to take me up, that lift's going to take... Unless I'm not in it, it's not going to take me up. I have to step into the lift. You have to walk into the lift and you have to entrust the lift will take you up to where you want to go. You don't believe just because it says it will take you up. You have to step into it to take you up and press the button and then find you go down because you've pressed the wrong button. But it will take you up when you re-press it. So likewise with God, we have to not just believe and trust God. We have to entrust into God. We have to step in to what He says about us. We have to step in to what He says about Himself. We have to make a conscious decision not to just sit there and say, yes, Lord, you can do this. We have to consciously step into what He says He can do within our decisions, within our concerns, within our circumstances, within our health. So then, does this mean that if we're seeking first His kingdom, all our worries and concerns will go? No. You wanted me to say yes there, didn't you? But no. Because if you put Matthew 6:33 into context with the next verse, Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. It doesn't mean the rest of the life will be fixed. But it does mean this. If we are careful in our planning, if we're thinking ahead to our life, our goals, our steps, our direction, our guidance, our concerns, our circumstance, our life, our health, we can have a surety. We can have a surety in keeping in perspective the power of God at work in our lives. And that will reduce your need to worry. He knows what's best for you. He works out all those things that we can't work out. He meets us where we can't go. But we have to seek his kingdom first. So, from my heart, heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. We must oil these before we use them. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to play you a song. Well, Alan's going to play it. And it's called My Heart Is Yours. I do want us to learn this. I don't want us to sing it as low as he sings it when it starts, but I do want us to learn. Now I know, and this isn't a word of knowledge, I know there are decisions in this room, there are concerns in this room, there are circumstances in this room, there are health issues within this room. And I want you to take your bubble, and I want you to give it to the Father. I want you to seek his kingdom. What would he say to you? What is it that he's been longing to whisper to you? So I'm not going to put the words up of this song, but listen to them. But primary, I want you to just seek his kingdom. There is an area for all of us that we need to seek his kingdom. So Al.
Here's my